Praise God. Welcome today to Living the Good Life, brought to you each Sunday at this time, live in the radio station at 1340 a.m. Here we are in Clearwater. Beacon of Hope Ministries brings you Living the Good Life. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Connie Farmer, you're with me in the studio today. This
yes,
is kind of cool, isn't it?
Yes.
And I just found out from our dear Lee in there in the engineering booth that we are now live streamed video also. So had I known that, I would have dressed up.
Right?
So you can go to www.tantalk1340.com and you can actually see us right now in the radio station and in the control room. And that's pretty cool. I think I would have worn a different shirt, Con.
Why?
I don't know. I just think I would have. I don't know. It would have been prettier. But anyway.
Prettier?
Cooler. Okay. Anyway, certainly wouldn't have been ruffles and bows. But anyway, we're glad you have joined us today. Psalm 103 in your Bible, if you have it right there, has been on my heart for the last little while. And it says this. These are the words of David. And as I read these, maybe you'll get excited about this word and you will begin to praise God with us, because I encourage you right now to open your mouth and praise God, because he's got some great things in store for us over the next 90 minutes. We love being on the air with you. Psalm 103 verse 1 says, "Oh my God, oh my soul, bless God. From head to toe, I'll bless his holy name. Wherever you are, driving down the road, sitting at your computer, bless his holy name with us right now. You can even say, I bless you, God. Oh, my soul, bless God. Don't forget a single blessing." In the New American Standard, it says, "Don't forget any of his benefits." There we are, Connie. I see us on the air. Lee just turned us on. Yep, I wish I would have worn a different shirt. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, we are not going to forget any of his benefits. And it says, he forgives your sins, every one. Praise God. Can anybody get excited about that today?
Thank God.
He forgives our sins, every one. He heals your diseases, every one.
Wow.
If you're sick out there today, you've got disease in your body. Maybe you've got a bad cold. Maybe you got a fever. Maybe you've got heart trouble, cancer, whatever your situation is today. It says here in Psalm 103, verse 3, he forgives your sins, everyone. He heals your diseases, everyone. He redeems you from hell, saves your life. That's enough to get so excited about. He crowns you with love and mercy, a paradise crown. He wraps you in goodness, beauty eternal. Take that goodness right now. God wants to wrap you in his goodness right now. And I like this next line, especially for some of us who are a little over the age of 30 or 40. He renews your youth. You're always young in his presence.
Thank God.
God makes everything come out right. He puts victims back on their feet. God is sheer mercy and grace, not easily angered. He's rich in love. I don't know about you, Connie, but I think that's enough to get shouting happy about.
Yes, rich
on
in
living
love.
The good life today. He is rich in love. We're going to talk about that love today. We started that discussion last week about God's great love for us and what he expects from us in the way we treat other people. And he really does have an expectation, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He really does have a desire to see his children walk in love on a daily basis. And today we're going to talk about benefits and consequences of that love life. And this is not your romantic love life we're talking about. This is your daily life with other people. This is the life that you have with God on a daily basis. And I don't know about you, Connie, but I know that when I'm feeling so close to God, I feel closer to people. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you feel, you just don't feel like you're picky, you know, about, you know, nitpicky on people. You're
right.
Just accepting for how they are, and
mm-hmm.
you're just like high on life. You know, nothing bothers you. And
that's because you are in love with God, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And the more we love God and the more we spend time with him and talk to him and get to know him for who he is, and the more his nature begins to permeate us and change us, then we act different to people around us. I really believe that with all mm-hmm. my heart.
I think he helps us be more in tune to their needs.
Yes.
More in tune to their feelings and you know, just what's going on in their lives.
Right.
And he kind of gives us little hints and clues.
He speaks to us, doesn't mm-hmm. he? We believe with Definitely. All our hearts, a beacon of hope, that God speaks to us, that he speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through others. He speaks to us through that inner voice, that knowing down on the inside that happens where we just know that we know that God's talking to us. God does speak to us. And today on this broadcast, we are excited about the opportunity to talk to you about God's great love for you and also what he expects from us in this area of love. It's very important. So we're glad you're with us. If you have your Bible, why don't you grab it and or a notebook, and we are going to go to John 13 for a moment, and then we're going to go to some other passages. But we want to tell you a little bit about what's going on at Beacon of Hope. You know, we've had a lot of changes in the last few weeks with the truck going through the building and our all of our furniture is in storage, but it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. And we are now meeting at the Howard Johnson Resort right at the corner of US 19 and 580. We have a beautiful room there, very nice people there. Tables, chairs set up for Bible study on Wednesday nights. We've had two Wednesday night services there, Connie, and it's gone very well, hasn't it?
It's really nice.
Very nice. Very comfortable. And, of course, I've got my pad of paper up there. I love to teach from that. And we've got that all set up. And we have music. And we encourage you to join us this Wednesday night. We're there from 6 o'clock on. And from 6 to 7, we do a lot of prayer time, prayer requests, praise reports, some singing, and then at 7, we start teaching the word. So we welcome you this Wednesday night mm-hmm. at the Howard Johnson Resort at the corner of 580 and US 19 if you are in the Tampa Bay area. So we're glad to have you join us today. This first song by New Song is Love Revolution. This one's kind of wild, isn't it, Connie? Yes. But this is going to stir us up for our topic today.
Yeah.
Praise God. Love Revolution. All right. That's a different song. I've never heard that. What is a revolution? You are listening to Living the Good Life, brought to you each Sunday at this time from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. We're teaching the word. Love Revolution. A revolution is a change, isn't it? When things are going along a certain way and everything's just kind of the same. And then a revolution is when something changes abruptly. Usually there is a revolt, maybe in a little nation where they revolt against the way things have always been in the political structure. And a revolution is a change. And what this song is talking about is God is calling his body, his people, to a revolution of love where we are totally changed from the inside out into people that are so full of love that people look at us and go, what is going on with him or her? She's weird. Something's changed. What's going on? Have you noticed that shift, that attitude? There is a word, I said it a couple weeks ago, Connie, shift. There is a shift that's going on right now in the body of Christ around the world, and that shift is changing from the way things have always been to a new revolution of God's love that is beginning to permeate his people. I take you to John 13, and this is one of the last things Jesus said before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, the night that they arrested him, and then he eventually went to the cross a few hours later. This is so vitally important, and we talked about it briefly last week. John 13, beginning with about verse 31. When he had left, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is seen for who he is." Now, the person who left was Judas. Judas went out to betray Jesus. And so Jesus goes on talking. Jesus doesn't say, "Man, I wish Judas wasn't going out and doing this." He doesn't tell all the disciples what Judas is doing. Instead, Jesus just goes right on with the thought and the business at hand. And this is the business that Jesus wanted to talk about, that the Son of Man, which is him, was soon to be glorified, and that God would be seen for who he was in him. In other words, people would finally realize that Jesus was the Son of God. Now, we know how that's going to happen because we know the end of this story. We know that Jesus willingly went to the cross, died on the cross for our sins and our sicknesses, and he rose from that tomb, a resurrected Lord alive 3 days later. And because of that, people began to go, "Oh, wait a minute, this isn't just any normal human being walking down the road. There is something very special about this person. This must have been the Messiah, the Son of God." The moment, it says in John 13, verse 31, that God is seen in him, God's glory will be on display. And so they go on and they talk about this, and Jesus is talking about this. And let's go down to verse 34 of John 13. And this is the point we want to make right now. Jesus says, "Let me give you a new command." Now, this is not the command that had been operating for a long time in Judaism. It wasn't based on this. It was that their commands were based on the law, the Mosaic law, the Ten Commandments. And a lot of you know those commandments. Now, these are all good things, these Ten Commandments. But Jesus says, "Let me give you a new command." Now, here he does not say, "You all have to follow the Ten Laws, the Mosaic." I mean, he does not go into a dissertation on that. Although we know that Jesus didn't come to annihilate the law, but he came to fulfill it. But he goes on and he says, one little phrase, three words, love one another. Love one another. This is the new command he's giving them. In the same way I loved you, you love one another. Now, this is not an option. This is not something that Jesus doesn't say here, "Hey, you know, if y'all feel like loving each other, that's all right. If you don't, if you're all mad at each other, and if you're all hurt and bitter and full of unforgiveness, that's okay too." Jesus doesn't say that at all. He says, here's the new command. In the same way I loved you, you love one another. In the same way I loved you. How did Jesus love us? And how does he love us now? He loved us sacrificially. He willingly went to the cross for us, died on the cross for us. And it says right here, in the same way I loved you, you love one another. How are we to love people that we run into? Whether it's people we live with, people we work with, people that are in our families, or whatever that case may be. It says that we are to love like Jesus loved. Now, that's huge. And when Connie comes back, we're going to talk about that, because it's huge to love the way Jesus loved. This isn't any just trite little sentence here. Y'all love each other now, okay? Yeah. It's not like that. Jesus is saying this is a new command. He says, in other words, take this seriously. Pay attention. It's almost like Jesus is saying here, listen up, guys. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples. Oh, wait a minute. I thought they recognized that we're his disciples by the seminary degrees we have, or about how many verses we've memorized in the Bible, or, you know, how perfect our church attendance is. Isn't that how people know that we are his disciples? I mean, now, after all, if you've gone a whole year and haven't missed Sunday school one time, doesn't that prove that you are his disciple? Do you know Jesus doesn't mention church here? He doesn't mention Bible verses here. He doesn't mention perfect attendance and get your pin. He says people are going to recognize that you are my disciples when they see the love you have for each other. I want to point out the word see right there. It doesn't say when they hear the love you have for each other. You see, I think people are great, all of us are great about talking the talk. And I mentioned this phrase last week, I think, or the week before, that we are so often great at talking the talk, but not so great at walking the walk. I find it interesting here that Jesus says, when they see the love you have for each other. He doesn't say, when they hear that you say you love each other. Because we can all say that. Oh, I love my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Oh, I love you. Well, there's a song we've sung for years. I love you with the love of the Lord. Oh, I love you with the love of the Lord. And yeah, I know you're saying, spare us the singing, Pastor. Mm-hmm. Okay. But, you know, that is one of those songs that we've sung in church services for years. I love you with the love of the Lord. Then, do we live it? What happens? Does it translate that kind of a statement into our daily lives? We're going to talk about that on this show today. We're going to talk about the benefits of loving like that. And we're going to talk about the consequences of not loving the way God wants us to love. There are consequences to that. Jesus says right here, this is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other. That's how they're going to know that you're my disciples. If you have your Bibles, just run over with me real quick to where we were last Sunday, and I just want to give you a real quick refresher in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and then we're going to get into some new things in just a little while. But in 1 Corinthians 13, and I love this in the Message Bible, Paul says this, and it's about verse 4 or 5 in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, I'm bankrupt without love. You know, I have nothing without love. And then listen to these different sentences, which I mentioned last week. I've used in many, many weddings that I've done through the years. Love never gives up. In one translation, it says love never fails. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. And that is critical. Connie, I want to talk about that in a minute. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head. That's pride. Doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. I find this interesting about love. Love learns to control its temper. This says love doesn't fly off the handle. I think a lot of us fall into that trap of the devil on a consistent basis where we fly off the handle. We all do it. And then it goes on to say here, love doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Now, I think that is huge. We didn't talk about that phrase last week, and I want to talk about that today because I believe that a lot of us get all hung up when we keep score of the way others have hurt us. And we all do it. We have that memory. I've known people who can tell you back 25 years ago when so-and-so did this, and then I did that, and then no, and I've never been the same. You know, that is a human trait. Some of us have memories like elephants, you know, and we can remember all those things that people have done to us through the years. And it says here in 1 Corinthians 13, love doesn't keep score of the sins of others. It doesn't revel when others grovel. It takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Love loves truth. Connie, can you make a note of that? Love loves truth, okay? Love is all about truth. Love is not about lies. Love is not about building a case against someone, okay? Love is all about truth winning out. That's what love is all about. Love puts up with anything. Now, you know, there's some exceptions there, I'm sure, as we mentioned last week about, you know, violence and abuse and things like that. That's different. But we're talking about things in relationships where there's not that kind of abusive behavior. But I love this next line. Love trusts God always. I love that. Love trusts God always. And God's been really speaking to my heart in the last few weeks about this thing of trust. And if we really love God, we must learn to trust Him. Okay? We must learn to trust Him. If we really love Him, we must learn to trust Him. And it says here in 1 Corinthians 13 that love trusts God always. Always looks for the best. Never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. You know, it's easy to get bitter. It's easy to get discouraged and mean and sometimes full of unforgiveness because of what people do to us. And, you know, we're all human. We get hurt. You know, we have things that happen to us, maybe in a relationship, a marriage, or maybe in a church setting where somebody is very cruel and they are mean and we don't understand why they treat us that way. And there's not an excuse for it, but it happens. Human nature. Sometimes there may be a church setting where somebody in power says something really mean or rude to somebody else, and then things just kind of escalate, and pretty soon people's feelings are hurt. And God is saying to us through the words of Jesus here in John 13, here's your new command. We have got to learn to love each other like we've never loved before. It starts with loving God. It starts with loving God and God loving us. He loves you so much, my friend, out there, wherever you are, driving down the road or listening on your computer or watching us on the computer. God loves you so much. It's His love that caused Him to send His Son to this earth. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You know, love is giving. And that's what God the Father did. He loved us so much that He gave His Son to us. He sent Jesus to this earth to absolutely stir you up and impact your life in a way that can never, ever be reversed. Once you've had an encounter with the living God, you cannot go back and to that time. You can try and you can run and you can stray away and all of that, but there's going to be a knowledge down on the inside of you somewhere that God loves you and has a plan for your life. Don't go anywhere. This is Station ID right here, and we'll be right back.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, Wesley Chapel.
All right. You're listening to Living the Good Life, and we're excited about what God is doing at Beacon of Hope Ministries, even though we've been in a little bit of a transition lately, haven't we, Connie?
Just a little.
But it's all good. We have a website, what's the rest of that?
BeaconofHopeMinistries.com.
BeaconofHopeMinistries.com, and it's got to have the IES on it, doesn't it?
Correct.
And I think there's times that people try to just put in Beacon of Hope, and it's not going to come up. You have to go BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. And you can go there and to our website and find out an awful lot about the ministry. We are in our 7th year as a ministry. Mm-hmm. Pretty exciting. We're going to complete that 7th year on September the 29th. And that is the anniversary of the first service of Beacon of Hope in 2001. God's done an awful lot through these years, Connie. There's been an awful lot of people that have been touched by the ministry in so many ways. Countless, hundreds of people saved. I know that. I mean, you know, just so many. There's been so many people that have had their bodies healed and are still letting us know that God's touching them through the ministry and through the radio broadcast. And we're in our 2nd year on the radio show, and that's exciting. I don't know about you, Connie, but I absolutely love doing this show. I look forward to it all week long. I just can't wait. I could do it every day of the week. You know, that's how much I love this radio ministry. It's a lot of fun reaching out to people and not even knowing who's listening and who isn't. It's kind of cool that way, really.
And who we're touching and
right.
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's exciting. This love walk, Connie, this love walk is hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why is it so hard?
Because people are mean sometimes.
Yeah.
People are just, they're just people. They're humans.
Yeah.
And they, you know, some of them, I think we talked last week or the week before about when you get bumped into what squeezes out, what oozes out of you.
Exactly.
And sometimes the stuff that oozes out of them is not so nice.
It's not so nice. Yeah.
So it's hard to love them like Jesus would love them.
Right.
Because he would just, you know, he would see through their angry words and know that it was some hurt or something from within them that
exactly.
was coming out.
Yes.
And, you know, just hug them or whatever. I think if I tried to hug somebody that was spewing stuff at me, they'd probably slug me.
Well, I remember.
But you never know.
You never know. I remember a couple years ago teaching a series about hurt. And hurt people mm-hmm. tend to hurt people. Mm-hmm. You know, those are four words that if you think about it, hurt people, they do. Mm-hmm. You know, and people that have had a lot of stuff happen to them, and a lot of it goes back to childhood things and where there's really a need for healing. And this is one of the benefits. When we started the show today of Psalm 103, and we talk about all of his benefits and how he heals all your diseases and he renews your youth like the mm-hmm. eagle. A lot of people have had their youth stolen from them, Connie, because of unloving acts that mm-hmm. have happened to them as children, you know?
Definitely.
And maybe it's been a molestation. Maybe it's been abuse. Maybe it's been a parent that neglects them. Or maybe they were given to a relative and their parents didn't even take care of them as children. And it leaves an awful lot of scarring and damage, don't you believe?
Damage and all kinds of emotional things that, you know, especially a child, they can't figure out what they did wrong for
right.
their parent to leave or their, you know, to be dumped off at somebody else's house. Or...
Exactly. And so I think as people grow up and then they come to the church, you know, mm-hmm. and as often happens, people do come to church because they are hurting. And that's good.
Yeah.
That's
most,
good.
I mean, and most people do. I mean.
Most people hurt?
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, I mean, most people that come to church are coming looking for something.
Yes, they are.
Whether it's so flagrantly vivid or, you know, or it's something deep down in and they don't really know, but they just feel like they need to be there.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, I think growing up in the ministry, as I have all my life as a pastor's kid, missionary's kid, I've seen a lot of, I've seen an awful lot of hurt in churches, you mm-hmm. know, and a lot of people that need to be handled with tender, loving care, but also at the same time, let me throw this at you. If you have a big abscess in your mouth, in a tooth, mm-hmm. okay, and you go to the dentist, and the dentist goes, hey, and he opens your mouth, and he looks in there, and he goes, you got a huge abscess in your tooth, you know? And we can leave it in there, and here's what's going to happen. It's going to get worse and worse, and pretty soon it's going to ache so bad you're not going to be able to sleep at night, and then the infection's going to spread through your body and on and on and on. And the dentist could paint quite a picture like that. Or he could say, you know, I think it'd be best for you if we go ahead and take that out of there. And perhaps you're sitting there thinking, oh, I don't want a tooth pulled. That's going to hurt. It's going to hurt to have that tooth pulled. Mm-hmm. And so you say, you know, nah, I don't think so. I think I'll just put up with it. Okay. I think this analogy, which just came to me right now as we're talking, I really believe this is the way a lot of people enter church. Okay. They enter with an awful lot of abscesses, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of stuff, a lot of junk, maybe hurts from childhood or maybe whatever the case may be. And maybe there is an inner knowing that if they get to the right church, they can find God's healing and his peace. But what happens a lot of times is they enter with their defenses up. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't know if I want that taken out of there or not. I'm kind of used to all my self-pity, you know, or I'm kind of used to all my depression. You know, it works for me. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't like it all the time, but, you know. As a pastor, Connie, I have seen all these years that a lot of people resist the pulling of the tooth. Mm-hmm. They're afraid of the pain of getting that abscess tooth out of there. They're afraid it's going to hurt too much to face it. Mm-hmm. You know?
What's going to fill that vacancy?
And what's going to be there? You know? Beacon of Hope, one of the things that we are is a deliverance ministry. Mm-hmm. Okay? And deliverance means that you are, this junk is extracted from you. Okay, much like an abscess tooth. I wasn't planning on talking about this today. This has got to be God just, right now. Yeah.
It's funny because I was just talking about this a little while ago.
Really?
Yeah, with a friend of mine and trying to explain how I'm a different person because right. of that.
Yes. Because in that deliverance process, we have to face mm-hmm. some of our demons, you know? We have to face some of the junk that has controlled us for so long mm-hmm. that makes it difficult for us to really love in the body of Christ. Because the theme of this show today is that real love, its benefits and its consequences, mm-hmm. okay? And there are times when we begin to love people. And let's say a person comes into Beacon of Hope and they sit down and they begin to hear the word of God. Now, it's not my place as pastor to make a list of all the people I'm going to hit that day with my sermon. I don't do that. Never have. Okay. It would just be way too time consuming. I would have to be checking with you, Connie. Now, what should we get with this one and that one? You know, we don't do that.
No.
But the word of God does do that.
God does it
through the word because yes. Hebrews chapter 4:12 says that God's word is alive and it's powerful mm-hmm. and it gets down on the inside of us into those, you know, those little crevices,
those hurts,
those things we can't see, but we feel.
Yes.
You know,
and some of us avoid feeling them.
Oh, yes. Why?
Because it hurts,
and we don't want to cry. Mm-hmm. I cannot tell you the number of times, Connie, through the years of pastoring, where I've been preaching and not knowing how it's affecting people, but begin to see, and we have Kleenex boxes all over Beacon of Hope for this very yes. reason, begin to see the power of the Holy Spirit work on people, and people begin to cry, and they begin to allow God to soften their heart and begin to allow God to show them that they need to have that abscess tooth pulled out. Mm-hmm. And it is a beautiful thing when we begin to see it, and then the Word of God begins to show people a better way to live. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've been talking about this very concept, and you and I haven't even been talking about this.
No, it's, and you know, there's still a lot of tears.
Yes. It hurts.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts. It's not easy to face things. It's not easy to look at our lives and say, you know what? I really screwed up there, you know? Yeah, I handled that wrong.
You know, and to look back at different things, different hurts, how you've hurt other people.
Yes.
And some just because you didn't know.
Right.
And you can't ever gain that back sometimes.
Right. And sometimes it is when you do see that and say, wow, I did that. Mm-hmm. Then I love the Al-Anon program where it says you make amends to those that you can, you know?
Yes.
And I love that concept because making amends means really asking for forgiveness.
Right.
And saying, you know what? I can't change it, but I want you to forgive me, you know? Mm-hmm. And there may be some listening to these words right now out there in our listening audience who need to make some amends with some people this week.
Yeah.
Because hurt people hurt people. And if we got to stop the cycle of hurting people, one of the ways we do it is through forgiveness.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And learning to love, really love. Love the way Jesus loved, and he talks about here in John 13, is sacrificial love.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to give of yourself.
Yeah, it is.
Whenever you love somebody, you give a piece of yourself.
Yeah, you do.
A part of yourself.
You sure do. And then when somebody stomps on your heart, it doesn't feel very good.
And then you want to take it back and don't ever give it out again.
Right, because we don't want to be hurt. And, you know, I had this talk with somebody recently, and I think we all have these things in our past, these relationships or these mm-hmm. friendships or these family problems or children problems or parent problems or whatever they may be, where we have gone out on the ledge and we have, you know, really tried to love the way Jesus loves, only mm-hmm. to have it thrown back in our face, you know? And partly that happens a lot of times, I really think, because the person who's throwing it back in our face is also hurting and doesn't know how.
And they don't know how to deal with what you're saying.
Exactly. And Jesus says here, this new command I give you, okay? What are some of the benefits? You that are listening to us right now and those that are kind of maybe making some notes, what are some of the benefits of loving the way Jesus is talking about?
Well, I think that when you love without worrying about whether they love you back
right,
or whether it's going to be received or not, you know that you've done the right thing.
Right.
And you feel like, you know, you've reached out.
Yes.
But as humans, I think it's hard to let it go at that.
Oh, yeah.
Because you want to keep hammering the message home that you really do care about somebody, and you can overdo it.
Well, and you want them to reciprocate it.
Yeah, or at least acknowledge they got the message.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you want them to feel the same way you feel, you know?
That would be good.
That
doesn't always happen.
It doesn't always happen. And, you know, it's one of those things where we're not told to love if somebody loves you, you know? Just love in the body of Christ. If somebody treats you perfectly and if they love you the way you feel you need to be loved, then that's okay. You just love then, you know? We're not told that.
Yeah, we always have. There's always, as humans, we always have conditions on our love.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I remember when I was younger and I used to say, no, I love you unconditionally, but really there were conditions and you know, I was just stupid. I didn't see what those limitations that I had put on how I would love somebody.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, I think it's a human thing, but, thank God I've learned to love more like Jesus loves.
Exactly.
And, you know, sometimes I see, you know, I see the most difficult situations sometimes, like at work and, you know, the family situations and
the babies, taking care of the babies that you see at the hospital.
Yeah, and, you know, the social aspects of people's lives and things. And you know, I hear some of my coworkers saying, you know, things about people, you know, they're this and they're that. And you know, I've been there with them.
Right.
In my past, I've been there. But I find myself now saying to myself, you know, what would it be like to be in that situation?
Exactly.
And how would I act? And,
right.
And how would I be? And could I cope with this kind of devastating illness? Or could I, you know, all these kind of things? And So I guess I'm beginning baby steps,
right,
in learning to love like Jesus loves.
Exactly. I can't even quote it correctly, but I've got a little wooden plaque in my office at home, and I'm part Cherokee Indian and very small part. But anyway, this is an old Cherokee proverb, and it says something like, don't condemn somebody until you've walked a mile in their moccasins, something to that effect. And I think a lot of times we really don't understand why somebody's striking out a certain way or why they are hurting the way they're hurting. And it's the best thing we can do is pray for them. But love goes a long way, don't you think, Connie?
Yeah. You know, we even though we're not supposed to judge, we look at people or view people and how they respond according to our value judgment.
That's right.
Our values.
Yeah.
And I mean, we don't have anything else to compare it to.
Right. Right.
And, you know, unless we're really trying to become like Jesus and
right.
and how we deal with people. But other than that, you know, we just have our own set of values that we
exactly.
use to, you know, if somebody doesn't react the way that you think they should, then that's not right.
Right.
But it may be the only way they can at that time.
And exactly. And we really need to have our minds renewed by the power of the Spirit of God. Listen to this song by Casting Crowns, If We Are the Body. Mm-hmm. I think this is going to speak volumes to all of us right now. We'll be right back. But listen to this song.
Today, as she slips in, trying to fade into the faces, the girl's teasing laughter is carrying farther than they know, farther than they know. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing? Then there is a way. There is a way. Why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing?
Praise God. If we are the body, boy, that is a great song by Casting Crowns. We're glad you've joined us today. You are listening live to Living the Good Life, brought to you each Sunday at this time from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Connie Farmer is with me. Today we have something brand new. If you are watching or listening to us on the web, some of you think I just misspoke, and I did not. You can go to www.tantalk1340.com. And you can actually see Connie and I here in the radio station live right this moment. So we would wave at you. I'll try, but we're a little delayed. So there's the wave. Okay. And you'll get it in a minute. So anyway, you can go there and see us video stream for the first time today. So we're excited about that. We are talking today about the benefits and the consequences of walking the walk of love. And we are glad you have joined us today to talk about this. Casting Crowns, the song we just played, says, why aren't his hands healing if we're the body? If we're the body, why aren't his words teaching? If we're the body, why aren't his arms reaching or his feet going? You know, if this is the case, why aren't we doing what God called us to do? Let's go to Luke chapter 10. If you have your Bible with me, it's great stuff. We're going to look at verse 25, Luke 10, 25. Just then, a religious scholar stood up with a question to test Jesus. And he said, teacher, what do I need to do to get eternal life? Now, again, Jesus did not answer, you got to have this much memorized in the Bible. You've got to be giving this much to church. You've got to be a seminary graduate or anything else. Here's what Jesus says. He says, what's written in God's law? How's it read to you? How do you interpret it? This is Luke 10, now verse 27. And the young lawyer says, here's how I see it, that you love the Lord your God with all your passion. Wow. Now that's a lot of love for God. This is not just an occasional, yeah, God, I love you, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, this says that you love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and muscle and intelligence. Wow. In one translation, it says that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your body, your strength, all of it. And that you love your neighbor as well as you do yourself. That you love your neighbor as well as you do yourself. Now that's huge. Y'all know we love ourselves, you know? We kind of put ourselves kind of out there as important, you know, and we take good care of ourselves and all that. That you love your neighbor as well as you do yourself. And in verse 28 of Luke 10, Jesus says, good answer. Do it and you'll live. Do it. It's one thing to talk it. Now, we've been saying this. I'm going to say it again. It's one thing to talk it. It's another thing to walk it. Jesus says right here, walk it. Do it and you'll live. Now, I love the next line in the Message Bible because I think this is so like us humans. Looking for a loophole. I love that word, loophole. Looking for a loophole, the young lawyer says, now, just a minute, Jesus, how would you define neighbor? I love that. The guy is obviously trying to get out of this because this is pretty huge. You got to love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, wait a minute, let's define neighbor anyway. Jesus answered by telling a story, and here it is. This is a great story. There was once a man traveling from Jerusalem. I'm in verse 30 of Luke 10, and he was going to Jericho. On the way, he was attacked by robbers. They took his clothes. Now, this guy got really beaten up. You know, and this happens, you know, there was somebody, a young lady beaten up in our Tampa Bay area in Bloomingdale the other night, horribly. It says this person, they took his clothes, they beat him up, they went off leaving him half dead. But luckily, here comes a priest. He was on his way down the same road. Oh, you can just see the look on this guy's face who's been all beaten up and he's laying there half dead. Oh, here comes a priest. Surely I'm going to get help, you know? And so here comes this priest, and the priest looks at him and he sees him and he angles across to the other side of the road That's pretty bad. He angles across to the other side of the road, and he does not help the beaten-up guy. Oh, but here's the second chance. Here comes a Levite. Now, and this was a religious man. The Levite, the religious man, showed up, and he also avoided the injured man. Strikeout number two. Both of these religious people who knew better, the priest and the Levite, who should have been the first ones. You see, there's accountability here. And as pastors and shepherds, we should be the first ones to reach out to people. And the priest and the Levite should have been right over there across the road doing what the third guy did do. Now, here comes the third guy. Now, here's something very interesting about the third guy. He's not even supposed to be touching or talking to the man who was beaten up. Because the third guy is a Samaritan. And a Samaritan was not considered, they were considered kind of outcasts, and they were not supposed to be associating. The Samaritan traveling the road came on this guy. And when he saw the man's condition, I love this next phrase. His heart went out to him. His heart went out to him. When we see the condition of people around us, here's what God expects of us, dear listeners, that our hearts go out to those that are hurting. Not that we call 10 friends with the latest gossip about those that are hurting, but instead that our heart goes out to those that are beaten up and hurting. And this is what the Samaritan did. His heart went out to him, and he gave him first aid, disinfecting and bandaging his wounds. We're going to talk in a minute about how you disinfect and bandage wounds in the body of Christ. And it's not always with Neosporin and gauze bandages. And this guy did this very thing, though, for this beat-up, wounded man. He gave him first aid, he disinfected him, and he bandaged him up, and then he lifted him onto his own donkey. He didn't drag him. He didn't leave him there. He lifted him up on his donkey, and he led him to an inn. He did not leave him there to die. The religious guys did. The religious guys left him there. They just said, oh, well, too bad, you know. Oh, I don't want to get involved. I'm busy. Oh, I'm about my Lord's work, you know. I don't have time to do this and see about this poor beat-up old guy. But the Samaritan, who really was going out of his way and breaking tradition, went, bandaged him up, and lifted him on his donkey, led him to an inn, and made him comfortable. In the morning, he took out 2 silver coins, and he gave them to the innkeeper, and he said, take good care of him. If it costs any more, put it on my bill. I'll pay you on my way back. This guy actually paid the bill to have this beat-up guy taken care of in a hotel. Whoa. When was the last time we went that extra mile to take care of somebody to that degree? What do you think? Now, this is a story that Jesus is telling the young lawyer, because the young lawyer says, you know, who is my neighbor? And Jesus is defining who his neighbor is. Guys, it's everybody out there who's beat up and bruised and broken. And this Samaritan actually got him into a hotel, took care of him, paid his bill, and offered to pay his other bills when he came back. And then Jesus says in verse 36, what do you think? Which of the three became a neighbor to the man attacked by robbers? And of course, the religious scholar says this, the one who treated him kindly, kindly. Jesus said, you go and do the same. Wow. God, through Jesus here, telling us this hugely important story, does not give us an out here. to just say, oh, well, you know what? I don't have time to take care of people. I don't have time to pray with people when they call me. I don't have time to see about their needs. I don't have time to bandage their wounds or to pray for them because they're all beat up emotionally. I don't have time. I just don't have time. I'm busy. Jesus doesn't give us that out. Jesus doesn't give us the out that, well, you know what? These people, they're just not cool enough. You know, maybe they're homeless, or maybe they don't have any of the world's goods, or maybe they, you know, they don't smell very good, or they don't have the latest clothes. Jesus doesn't give us that out. Jesus says, you go and do the same thing. The one who treated the Samaritan, or this poor beat up guy kindly, that's the one who's doing what God has called him to do. Wow. The benefits of loving like this. Consequences. Did it take some time out of that guy's schedule? Sure. Did it take some money out of his pocket? Most definitely. Did it take an effort for him to bend down in that dusty road and disinfect and bandage that hurting man? And then, did it take an effort physically when he had to lift him onto his donkey? He didn't have an ambulance standing there ready to put him on a gurney and take him to the closest hospital. This guy had to go the extra mile. He had to actually disinfect and bandage this man by himself and lift him onto his donkey. That's huge. That's huge. That's called sacrificial loving. That's called going the extra mile, Connie. That's what it's talking about. You know why we can do this? Because we wear the name of Jesus. We are his soldiers. We are committed to him. We at Beacon of Hope, we don't have all the answers, guys, and we certainly are not perfect. But I'll tell you what, we do love like that, okay? And there are times that people reject that, and they don't get the healing and the help that they need. And instead of facing their issues and their problems, they leave. They walk away from the healing that they could have. But that doesn't mean it's not there and offered to them on a daily basis. Through our ministry at Beacon, we believe in this kind of sacrificial loving. When people turn around and stab us in the back, we still go on loving. Yeah, I got a lot of knife wounds in my back through the years, but let me tell you, I love people and I love the body of Christ, and I'm here to serve, and that's what we're all about. Let's hear this song, We Wear His Name by New Song. Wow, this is gonna bless you.
We wear
Praise God. Connie, we wear that name. Yes. We wear the name of Jesus on us everywhere we go. We're just not ordinary people walking down the street. We wear the name of Jesus. Wow. You are listening to Living the Good Life. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, along here with my sidekick, Connie Farmer.
We do have shirts that have Jesus.
We do have shirts that say Jesus. That's all they say. And on the back, they have the Beacon of Hope logo. Yeah, mm-hmm. we do. Mm-hmm. Those were cool shirts. We sold a lot of those. Mm-hmm. You know, we do bear that name, and that's what we are all about. And that is what the ministry of Beacon of Hope is all about, is the Word of God. And our slogan when we started Beacon of Hope is where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. And we amplified it a couple years ago to live well and live blessed. But it all goes together, that as the healing power of the Word of God comes and lives on the inside of you, and the Word changes you, then you do begin to live well and live blessed. And I love that song. We've been called to be the light. We've been called to be the life of God. You know, we're not just here on this planet for no reason. I was having this talk with somebody the other day about the fact that God's got a plan and a purpose for our lives. And, you know, so often people go through life and they just think, is this all there is? You know, is it all there is? I get up and I go to work and then I, you know, I pay my bills and I go to bed early and get my rest. And I, you know, I walk the dog and... You know, is this all there is? And the answer to that is no, that isn't all there is, you know? This life is all about living for Jesus on a daily basis and letting Him change us. Wow. I could preach right here, Connie, so you better comment here. You better come on here and tell me what you're thinking.
Well, if you sit at home and you just kind of mull over things and mull over your life, you're just going to have a pity party.
Right.
And that's, you don't see what the next day is going to bring.
Yeah.
But you have to get out and be around people. And
good point.
You know, I can say that I don't always do a good job at when I don't have to go somewhere.
Right.
Of getting out. And I just kind of sit and ruminate over things. And sometimes, you know, you get into a little gully.
Mm-hmm.
And pity party.
Right. It doesn't feel very good, does it?
No, it doesn't.
And I think there's a lot of our listening audience that does that same thing, because I mm-hmm. think a lot of us do that. And we get distracted by TV shows or mm-hmm. whatever's going on at the time. But in reality, every moment of our life is so important. And this really is. It's a trite statement, but it's so true. Today's the first day of the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
You know? And what you make of your life from this moment on is what is going to matter for all eternity. And a few years back, somebody was getting up on a Sunday morning at Beacon of Hope, and they had the donut ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And this lady was thinking, oh, gosh, I don't want to get up this morning and go to the donut shop. Man, it's just like another job. I don't want to do it. Maybe I'll just stay in bed. And she told the story that Sunday morning in church that as she put her feet on the side of the bed and thought, nah, should I go back to bed or should I go get the donuts and go to church?
Mm-hmm.
She heard a very simple phrase down in her soul, and it was this: it's all about saving souls.
Yeah.
Now, some of you out there are going, what does that have to do with donuts? Well, she had taken on that responsibility
right, to
bring the donuts and get everybody there early to eat something. And then it was all about saving souls.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, dear brother Nathan wrote a song that from that very event that morning that happened. He wrote a song about it's all about saving souls
mm-hmm.
because of that was so profound that that happened. And from that moment on, I don't think she ever complained about the donuts again because it was something that God had spoken down on the inside of her.
It's such a fantastic feeling when you know that He's telling you something, and especially something like that.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's, we all get so bogged down in life and in relationships and things, and the bottom line, it's about kingdom business.
Amen. You preach it, Connie.
It's not about what you drive. It's not about how much money you have in the bank.
No,
because
it's not.
None of that's going with you.
Right.
It's where you're going and getting people to see where you're going to go after you die.
Exactly. It is all about kingdom business. And what do we do for God right now in this life? And some people may be listening and saying, well, I don't like to go to church because this happens and that happens. And we're really not even talking about you going to church. We're talking about your relationship with God. And as you begin to desire that relationship with God, then you begin also to desire to be with God's people and to hear the word of God. And it kind of is an outgrowth. But so often people feel like it's just all about you got to be at church. And that is important to hear the word. It really is. But it starts with your relationship with him.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, in that relationship, it's how it affects your whole life if you have that relationship with Jesus. And, you know, I had a devotional or a positive like desktop calendar that, you know, you peel off all these things and it says some great words of wisdom. But one of the things that I remember reading and that has always stuck with me, it says, be careful how you act because you may be the only Jesus people see today.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. And don't you think that's probably true for a lot of people?
Sure. Because they're not going to, you know, really interact with people at church.
Right.
They probably, you know, have been hurt or just don't even know about church. It amazes me the number of people that I work with.
Right.
Who take care of babies, who are in the nursing profession of caring for others, who have not the first concept of Jesus.
Right.
Have not the first concept of anything in the Bible.
Right.
I worked with a nurse the other night who had... her son is in, I guess, in a Christian school because he has a Bible lesson, or he had a project he was supposed to look up about the Ten Commandments.
Right.
And she didn't even know where to look in the Bible. I mean, she knew Exodus some way. I don't know if it was a reference on his sheet from school or what. But and of all the times I didn't have my little Palm Pilot that had all the different editions of the Bible, I didn't have it with me, and all I had was my New Testament message that I had in my bag. So, but you know, and she asked me about it, you know, and so she was able to get it up online, and read the Bible from the online computer, and get the answers that he was looking for.
Exactly.
But it amazed me that, you know, I just grew up with it in my life. And even there's people within my family who weren't active in the church or weren't, you know, some of my nieces and nephews have never even probably even been in church.
Right.
Maybe more than a couple times.
But it's really about that relationship with God, right? Mm-hmm. Because this man, this Samaritan, he hadn't been in church. But he had a basic love for God, evidently. It doesn't say that he was some religious leader. In fact, it says the religious leaders, they just walked across the other side of the road. They ignored. And this happens so often. This is why people say so many times that churches are full of hypocrites.
Well, and I think that people are generally good, and so they want to do the right thing.
Right.
But I think that it's God in them, whether they recognize him or not, that's making them that good person.
Exactly. You know, this is a revolution. We played that song at the very beginning, Love Revolution. I believe that God is wanting to have us to have a revolution around this world of truly, truly being loving people from the bottom of our hearts, to that we are changing into people of just love and compassion and kindness and goodness. You know, that love that doesn't fail, that love that isn't haughty, those things we read in 1 Corinthians 13, the love that isn't about self-seeking, about putting myself first, but about putting others first. I believe that God is speaking to churches. He's talking to us as individuals and saying, love like that. Love like that, you know? This is what it's all about, where we really, really care about the needs of other people before our own needs.
Mm-hmm.
That's sacrificial loving and giving.
And you wanted me to mark love loves the truth.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't think that you can really love somebody or something. I guess you wouldn't really want to love something, but you can't really show people love unless you truly, truthfully love them.
Exactly.
Or genuinely care.
And genuinely care. We were talking about the times that we need to get the hurt out. Mm-hmm. I have a big oak tree in the back of my house, and 3 or 4 years ago, I planted, a friend of mine actually did, these birds of paradise around that tree. I got to say, I didn't do it. So anyway, they were absolutely gorgeous. And they were about 4 or 5 feet tall. And the frost got them this winter. Oh. And I've been looking at them and thinking, I have got to get all that dead cut out. And so Friday afternoon, I started the project. And I did one whole side of the tree Friday afternoon and then got the other side done later. And honestly, as I began, all I could see, okay, as I looked at that whole area around that oak tree, all I could see was all the dead, 4 feet tall of dead, you know, leaves. And they just were so ugly looking. And I didn't see any of the orange birds of paradise blossoms. Didn't see any of them from where I was standing over on my deck. But then as I took these really sharp scissors, and thankfully I didn't cut myself this time, and began to cut all this stuff out, and I'm talking about 8 or 10 huge, hefty bags full is what it took. This is a lot of this. This was back-breaking, okay? But as I began to do that, I realized there was all this new growth down underneath all that dead. And you would not believe them now, what it looks like. Next time you're in my house, you got to see them. Because all the dead stuff's gone, and now all this, these new little plants are about a foot tall, and they've got the orange birds of paradise coming on. And I must have maybe 25 of these new plants already coming up around that oak tree. But it took me getting the dead junk out and putting them in trash bags, and I'm going to put them on the street tomorrow for the trash guy, and getting rid of that so that you could see the true beauty that was down there under all that. And I'm saying to the body of Christ, this is what we have to do. We got to get rid of that junk so we can see the true beauty that's in us.
Well, because that's all we see in people is the junk.
We see the junk. It looks bigger.
Yeah.
Everybody going outside and looking on my deck. A friend of my mother's was over the other day, and she was standing there, says, oh, that's kind of a mess. I said, yeah, that's a mess, all right. I said, it's just awful because they were so beautiful, you know, 4 feet, 5 feet tall, birds of paradise. But then it's okay because from death comes life. And now there's these beautiful foot-tall plants with these gorgeous orange. And one of my grandsons, that's his favorite color, little Justin. He loves orange. And these orange flowers coming out, it's just so cool. Love's never been like this. You know what we got to do? We got to learn to love the way Jesus wants us to love. And that is from the bottom of our heart, completely, not hypocritically, but truly love the way God wants us to love. Love's never been like this. New song.
In the air, everywhere there was a feeling that love was slowly dying. He knew the cross he must bear. Still, his prayer was, please forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. Willingly, he gave up his life. Clearly, love had never paid such a price.
Praise God. That wonderful sacrificial love of Jesus. That's what we're talking about. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And even if you just tuned in late, we're glad you did. You know, we've been talking about the fact that God is all love. In fact, it says in 1 John 4:8, God is love. That's the definition of him. God is love. He's full of love and compassion and cares about the details of your life. There may be some of you out there today that say, you know what, this all sounds good, but I don't really have that kind of a relationship with God. You know, I know about him, but I don't really know him. You know, I pray sometimes, but I don't really feel like he's even hearing me. And it starts with you going to him and saying that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm going to pray a prayer right now. Connie, I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. And those of you out in the listening audience that are not sure that you are saved, if you died tonight, would you be in the arms of Jesus? If you are not sure, would you pray this prayer with Connie as I repeat it? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now.
And we ask you to forgive us.
We ask you to forgive us.
From anything and everything.
From anything and everything.
That we have ever done.
That we have ever done.
That was not pleasing to you.
That was not pleasing to you.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
That he died on the cross for my sin.
That he died on the cross for my sin.
And that he arose from the grave.
And that he arose from the grave.
Alive and lives forever in heaven.
Alive and lives forever in heaven.
I ask you now, Lord Jesus.
I ask you now, Lord Jesus.
To come into my heart.
To come into my heart.
To forgive me for all I've done.
To forgive me for all I've done.
I want you to be my Lord and my Savior.
I want you to be my Lord and my Savior.
I want to learn to love people and you the way I should.
I want to learn to love you and people the way I should.
And Lord, I give my life to you now.
And Lord, I give my life to you now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. We pray that there are some out there that have prayed that prayer maybe for the first time or maybe renewed your commitment. You can go and to beaconofhopeministries.com and find out all about the ministry of Beacon of Hope. We are taking the ministry on the road. A couple weeks ago, we were in Pensacola at a wonderful church there that weekend and ministering and preaching, and praise God for that. And Connie, you were with me, and it was a great time, wasn't
Fantastic.
It? Didn't we have a great time?
Great
and any of those new people that are listening today, we just give you a big old hug across the airwaves. Mm-hmm. Our dear friends in Indiana, we have people in Alabama, in Georgia, Texas. We have people in a lot of different places mm-hmm. that listen to Living the Good Life. We always would love to hear from you. You can go and email me at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. It's pretty easy. And you can talk to me. And if you have a prayer need, you can send it to us. And or if you have a comment, we'd like to hear from you. pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. We have two books that I wrote last year, Lessons from the Fiery Furnace and Living Large and Loving It. We sold quite a few of those in Pensacola, getting the word of God out. I'm working on the third book right now. It will be published in a few months from Beacon of Hope Publishing. That's a division of our ministry. And we're excited about the new book coming out. And I won't even tell you the title right yet. We're working on that title and perfecting it, working on a cover. And my dear friends up in Georgia, Carol and Maxine, my publishing team, are working on a lot of aspects. So we're excited about what God is doing there. So if you want us to come and minister in your church, give us a shout. Actually, we have a new email address as of last weekend, Connie, bookings@beaconofhopeministries.com. And you can go there and you can tell us about your ministry. And if we can possibly work it out, we would love to come and minister in your assembly or your ministry or your church or whatever it is. Help you build your church, yes. Mm-hmm. We're all about building the local church, and not our agenda, not Beacon of Hope's agenda. We have our ministry that God has given us, and part of it is to help the local church get stronger and encourage the people to get in the Word of God. I love to do that and just really drive that home, the importance of being in the Word of God. It's mm-hmm. changed your life, hasn't it, Connie?
Wow. I'm not the person I used to be. Thank God.
Well, we love you and appreciate you, and we're excited about what God is doing. And we're glad that you all tune in every week. And we encourage you, you can actually have a commercial spot on our show. Mm-hmm. We are going to open ourselves up to that. So if you are interested in that, just email me again at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com and tell me about your business. And we would love to do that, do some plugging for you. And also, we always welcome your gifts and offerings. And you can go on our website to PayPal, and you can give a donation and bless the ministry at Beacon of Hope. It's been fun. It's always mm-hmm. fun, Connie. Always. Parting thoughts?
It's not easy, but we've got to learn to love like Jesus.
We do. We don't really have it's not an option, is it?
No, it's a commandment.
It's a command.
But the benefits definitely outweigh.
Yes. The consequences.
If we don't do it.
Mm-hmm. We become bitter, unforgiving, mm-hmm. nasty people.
Yeah.
And God's looking for a group of people that he can put his, you know, brand of love on. Mm-hmm. So let's be branded.
Yeah.
Right now by the love of God.
Big J.
Yeah. It's not far to Jesus. I love this song that we end our broadcast with. We're so glad you've joined us. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Connie Farmer from Beacon of Hope Ministries, Living the Good Life. Join us again next week at 4:34. Tell a friend, Eastern Standard Time. And you can watch us on the web at www.tantalk1340.com. It's not far to Jesus. See you next week.
To his side. There's no